This is a Collider.com audio interview.
What to you were the biggest challenges of being cast as, quote-unquote, the wife in a movie like this? And is it hard for you to... I mean, what do you bring to the table to try and make a character like this a little bit more interesting and comedic and colourful?
Well, I don't try to think about it that way, because that's not my job, kind of, in this. I love movies like this, and I think... somebody has to be the straight man, you know. And also, to me, this one of the things I liked about this movie was the heart of it and the sort of emotional, real story of, you know, this man who seems to be going crazy. No one believes him. And I think that's an important part of the story. I, you know, have had years and years of talking fast and being sassy, and I'm as happy to... you know, do something simpler. So it's not about trying to turn it into something else. It's just trying to do a good job with what, you know, what this is. And so that's what I tried to do.
There's Stephen Schaefer here from Boston Herald.
Hello.
You've got the Gilmore Girls, which is, you know, created you as a cult.
I'm a cult? Wait. Cult status, would you say?
Yes,
I'm a cult figure.
So how do you look upon, now that the series has ended, what you want to do with your career? And when Tom was leaving here, he said, did you get the reference with her name being Joan? And I said, Joan of Arc, and he said, exactly. Did you think about that?
I forget. Somebody said it. No, it didn't occur to me until somebody said it to me. And then, of course, my grandmother, who knows... every book of the Bible was like, well, her name was Sarah, so I don't know why they called her Joan. Wait, what was the first thing? I'm a cult. I think what my hope is that, you know, the only downside of having a steady job on television is, I think for all actors, there's a piece of there's some adrenaline, and part of the love of the job is not knowing what's coming next, and the variety, and kind of, and I remember having this a couple years into the show. I was like, well, there's some feeling that I miss. What is it? And it was kind of the unexpected and not knowing what the next thing might be, or if I would get it or not get it, and so kind of to begin to get back. Oh, geez, to begin to get back. Who did I mess this up? It's still doing stuff. To get back to that unknown is, I'm sure after a while it will drive me crazy, but for now it feels really nice, and I'm doing a movie now, and I'm going to do something else in like a month, so I know what my next couple things are, and I'm just really excited to have different experiences. And I feel I've kind of earned that, you know. I feel like I put in a lot of time in medical school, because Gilmore Girls is kind of like medical school, you know what I mean? And now I'm going to go do my residency. Can anyone help me with this analogy? Somewhere. And I might, you know, I'll try to be a doctor in one area. I just am going to really enjoy the variety. Did you not get my joke? I just mean I put in a lot of time at one thing, and now I sort of get to reap the benefits is how I think about it. But if you think about it this way, I could be a doctor by now had I gone to medical school instead of gone to Gilmore Girls. 7 years, that would be about right. Graham thinks she's a doctor. Confused? I'm writing your article for you. Yes?
If somebody that you care about,
right.
To you, apparently, anyway. How would you think you would handle it? Would you bail, or how would you...
Well, I think I kind of go through all the colors, you know, in this, because you want to believe them. You look for a rational explanation. You finally decide you can't take it anymore, and then Morgan Freeman is your waiter, and he tells you what to do. That's pretty much, you know, how I hope it would go. I don't know. You can't possibly know. I think the movie raises the question of, you know... how far will your faith take you? What do you do in the face of doubt? You know, is the power of love enough to get over sort of rational, you know, what you perceive to be the reality of something? And I don't know the answers to all those questions, but But we ask them here in this little PG movie. It makes you think.
Hi, Lauren, Sheila.
Hi.
What was the line working opposite Steve Carroll? And what did you think of him, his metrosexual makeover in the film?
I thought that was really funny, because when I saw it, I mean, first of all, I got so used to seeing him in that, you know, stuff every day that he would just look weird when you saw him without it, and the metrosexual stuff I thought played really well. It was great. I mean, again, we sort of had the more dramatic scenes in the movie, so I wasn't, like, holding my sides laughing during them, because that wasn't the tone of the scene. But he's a very funny guy. I really appreciate how he approaches things. He's a real actor. You know, he kind of, I think, I liked his work in 40-Year-Old Virgin, because I thought, this is so interesting. It's so small and subtle, and he's coming from it, from the character. He's not coming from, like, I'm doing something wacky and big, you know, and that's kind of, I just like that. And so it was fun.
Hi.
In
the movie as well as in the series, you actually are a very, very sexy mom. And
thanks.
Not skinny at all, but you know, great body.
Wow. There's that. Yeah. Not at all. You wouldn't say at all. No, go on.
You have a great body. So I just want to know what you do to, you know.
To be so not skinny. Well, thank you for part of that question. I don't have really any awareness of that. What I knew is that I thought we sort of discussed that I didn't think she worked, you know, and so I wanted her to feel kind of casual and natural, especially in opposition to this guy who's very buttoned up and has kind of gotten into this more professional time of his life. I felt like this is a girl who's known him a long time and knew him before all this stuff happened. And so I wanted her to be kind of a counterpoint for him. And the other stuff is, like, if I did anything I wanted to do, I would be, like, a lot. This is me, like, running and like, you know, doing everything I can. I'm sort of fighting I could go really far the other way. So this, I work out a lot. I watch what I eat. It's very hard, hard won, even to be this not skinny. Yes, next. What's amazing to me, like everything in this movie, one thing that was really striking was how every single person in every single department was the best at what they do. And that's, you know, from transpo to props to all the ADs, they work at a level that is so high. And so the amazing stuff with the animals was less what was my interaction with them, but watching these trainers get them kindly and very simply to do what they wanted them to do. Because these are not, do you think these, I just thought, these giraffes have not been training to do Evan Almighty like their whole lives. How do they know to bring him the hammer? And, you know, so much of the stuff is real that you see in the movie. So that was really amazing. I mean, we weren't like sitting around petting the lions or anything, but you know, but it was cool to have the, you know, it was just cool to watch them walk by. You're like sitting drinking coffee and you just got strangely used to it. And so, but I didn't like, you know, sit down and talk to anybody. I mean, the animal we dealt the most with was because we've all talked about it, so you've probably already heard about Toothy the alpaca, who had an underbite. You didn't hear about Toothy? Well, he is our favorite. He had this huge underbite, and he was really unattractive, and I think we made the trainers mad because we called him Toothy, and that's not his name. But the little boys got really into Toothy as like a mythical figure, even though he was right there. But they'd be like, do you think Toothy knows we're rolling? Do you think Toothy knows we're home? And like we'd be at dinner, they'd be like, what do you think Toothy's eating for dinner? So he was the one that somehow, because of his unusual appearance, you know, struck gold in our hearts. We loved Toothy.
Hi.
It was totally new. I mean, I've been on a show where, like, I walk and talk until the cows come home, and then suddenly, you know, we're doing, like, I mean, again, a lot of it was real enough that it wasn't like reacting to nothing. It was more that, you know, when I see the movie, there are thousands of animals. When I did the movie, there were five. You know, when I see the movie, there's a huge amount of water. When I did the movie, there was a hose. You know, so, but there was enough that you weren't just creating something out of nothing. But this was all new to me.
We know that you just flew in from filming something else, and you said you have another project in a month, and I wanted to know if you could talk about your work in these other two projects.
Well, this movie that I'm doing right now is called Laws of Motion. It's an independent film that that the playwright Craig Lucas is directing, and Hilary Swank is a producer on it and has a supporting part in it, just to lend her name to it. And that's really cool, actually, and inspiring that to see an actress who has a company who's, you know, helping get stuff made because she believes in it. And it's a story of a dysfunctional family, and Matthew Perry is my husband, and we have sort of a quiet marriage that is in trouble, and his brother and sister come to stay with us to disastrous results, and it's just kind of a dark comedy. But it's a very conservative, kind of preppy, shut-down character who's just trying to be nice to these people who she thinks are freaks. And so that's a cool, kind of different place to be. And then the next thing is I'm doing a wife world tour. I don't know if you could tell. I'm playing Greg Kinnear's wife in a movie about the man who invented the intermittent windshield wiper, and this is based on a true story, and it's a really great story, because he felt that his patent was stolen by the car companies, and he in real life spent his life not necessarily fighting for money, which he ended up getting quite a bit of, but fighting for the rights of inventors. And he's a real figure among inventors as someone who really stood up for their rights, and it's like an amazing part for Greg. And in that one, I have five kids.
Wow. Is that guy who's directing that?
Mark Abraham. He's a big producer who just produced Children of Men, among many other things. And Dante Spinotti is shooting it. That I don't know that that movie has a title. The working title is Flash of Genius. So, it's cool.
Hi. It sounds like these are great projects, really. And do you find that we always hear that TV and movies are like worlds apart? Do you find that people really know you from Gilmore Girls? That it's your work that got you these?
Gosh, I don't know. I think, I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's, you know, what a lot of directors like still is Bad Santa. And I had a small part in that weird movie, but in a great line that my father still is like, ah. But I'm not really sure. I think this movie, you know, even though it wasn't out yet, helped. It's just, and I do think the reputation of the show, of course, has been a huge help. And I'm just glad that the projects don't resemble each other very much, either in tone or, you know, I mean, they're joined by being somebody's wife. But at this age, that's there are stories about relationships, and you know that's the kind of movie I like anyway. So I feel really lucky. I seriously thought I was going to be planting like an herb garden and be sitting at this junket, like, you guys, at 3:00 in the afternoon, Judge Judy comes on, and she is so great. So you know, I'm happy to be just kind of floating around doing stuff. Although Judge Judy is great, yes.
I wondered if you could talk. It's a small scene, but I loved when you were with Morgan Freeman.
I did too.
About working with him in that scene.
I loved that scene, and that was the scene in the movie that really struck me as kind of a new way to say something really simple. And I just loved the message of that scene, which is, you know, just because you believe in something and ask for help doesn't mean, you know, you get it handed to you. It's still your job as a person to figure things out for yourself. And he's an impressive person to be around. So you have no problem, you know, because that was a tricky scene. In that, I'm like, hi, can I get some more, you know, fries or whatever? And he's like, are you all right? And I just thought, who would you open up to, you know, in this circumstance? But with him, it's actually very easy. He is I have found, you know, with the best people that I have worked with, that it's the simplest work in a way, because you're just connected and it all feels as truthful as it possibly can. And so you just want to keep doing it to try different things or something. But he's just really cool.
He likes to mess with us. Did he mess with you or anyone?
Yeah. I forget what he said to me, but I had been warned. And so he sassed me, and I kind of sassed him back. And he was like, he was kind of like, he was like, this one can stay, you know, and I was like, cool, I got him. But I was like shaking, because, you know, you don't want to, like, be sassy to someone you respect unless you know that's the only way that they will respect you. No, he's funny. He's just funny, and he's really comfortable in his skin, so he's not, you know, he just likes to play around.
Laura, now that you're going to be doing more movies, is there a pet project, a book you've optioned, or a character you're dying to play that you'd like to
No, now that I'm doing more movies, what I really want to do is a musical. but no, I'm still just kind of riding this wave. You know, I haven't had time. I had like 2 weeks off the show, and I haven't had time to really think about, even in terms of a TV show, you know, what I would like to do next. So that'll take a little time, I think. Yeah, a musical would be fun.
And you haven't ruled out going back to television, not at all.
No, I love television. I would go back for sure. But again, it's like not until I know, because let's face it, the next thing will be a disaster. It'll last 3 episodes, and that's just the odds. I mean, that's just what happens.
Or the Annie's reunion movie of the Gilmore Girls.
And then there's the reunion movie of the Gilmore Girls. Yeah.
And what's your favorite musical?
It's probably Anything Goes, but I can't sing that. So I have to find something that I can actually do. No, not after Ms. Lipone did it. No. Or like Funny Girl or something. I can't sing that either. I need an easier musical.
So what were your emotions when the show ended?
You know, it was really mixed, because I felt that the show was telling us it was over. I mean, from the beginning of this year, having nothing to do with, you know, David Rosenthal, who took it over, I felt then it's really there. I don't know what else there is to do here. And we all were feeling restless. But also, you feel so attached. It's like a project like that becomes a person, and you want to leave the person in the right place or something. And so it was really a struggle, and I think we felt like to do that show just cost a certain amount of time and dedication, and it never got easier. You know, usually in years 5, 6, 7 on a show like that, you get into a routine, you know, the days become normal, and that never really happened there. It's the nature of how much language, of just the big long scenes, the long shots, and the fact that it was really mainly the two of us. So we discussed all kinds of different options for, is there a way to do this, but, you know, let us have a more regular kind of work day. And they tried, and we tried, and at the end of the day, there wasn't a way to do it any differently, and I think they felt it was going to cost them, you know, a whole lot to try to renegotiate with everybody, and so it felt right. It felt like the right thing, and all those discussions and kind of angst about it also felt right, because it was one of the best jobs I ever had, and so of course it was hard to leave, but. Then when it was done, I thought, oh, all right.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.